Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to NBO, New Vision Organization Hour, here at Human Rights Demand. Thank you for joining Leona Brando on Human Rights Demand. My name is Mary Neal. I host the Human Rights Demand channel and New Vision Organization.
Every man, woman, and child of our shows
on this channel. And we so much appreciate you coming to join her. She's a prisoner activist, and New Vision Organization is a prison activist organization that works with volunteers and does a lot of good for our incarcerated people. For instance, some of the incarcerated people may need help receiving their medicines if they have conditions behind bars like diabetes, heart trouble, what have you. Some prisoners have a great deal of trouble accessing their prescribed medicines. Others may have been hurt while incarcerated, and they need assistance getting medical care for their injuries or ailments. Others may need help getting access to their records. So we have a great many circumstances that come up with inmates behind bars, not limited to those that I just named. And New Vision Organization operates as a organization that helps people who are incarcerated. Leona Brando spent many years as a social worker, and then her only son was incarcerated for life out of a very unfortunate circumstance. And she came to see how prisoners have so many problems aside from simply being imprisoned. They have problems dealing with being in prison, of course, but added to that, they experience a great many human rights abuses. And Leona Brando, some years ago, I think it was over 10 years ago, she started the New Vision Organization, and now she works with a network of volunteers, including paralegals, letter writers, a few attorneys who don't take on cases, but they give advice regarding the organization itself. And it's just a marvelous opportunity for you to use some of your time while you're laid off, use some of your time since you're retired now to help the prisoners. And that would be godly, because the Bible says in Hebrews 13:3, he says, be careful how you treat prisoners. We're to esteem their bodies as though they were our own. So it would be a godly work for you to volunteer with New Vision Organization and get involved with some of the opportunities to assist people who are locked up and are behind bars. We're not saying that they're all innocent. Basically, I believe most prisoners, the overwhelming majority of them, are guilty of something. They're guilty, maybe not necessarily the crime that they're sentenced for, but they were doing something to put themselves in that position, most of them. Even though there are a great many innocent ones behind bars, most of them are guilty as charged. But no part of their sentencing was for torture. No part of their sentencing was for torture.
Mary,
from society. Hello, Miss Leona. You're here. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mary?
I'm doing well.
I was listening where you were just mentioning a lot of prisoners are in for a reason, not for torture. And I have in front of me a letter we got from a prisoner from San Quentin, California.
Yes.
And this is one of the things. I don't know who's on the air with us right now. I know I came in kind of late, but the reason I'm looking at this letter, and this is, we were speaking about this at the last radio talk show. The epidemic in the United States of mental health illnesses and substances. Now, this young man wrote, and this is what he wrote. He said, since he's been in, and he went in for drugs, he has nobody. His family won't have anything to do with them. But yet, he says, my father is homeless, like he was at the time, and a drug peddler, like he was. My biggest problem in life has been my addiction. I've always thought I could kick the habit myself, but every time I got out of jail or prison, I found myself right back in it again, then right back in jail. Running off a good woman and two kids, and then another woman and two kids. So this time he got the three strikes, which he's serving in prison. But going back to this young man's background, he comes from a family that was dysfunctional, and his father was selling drugs, so he got involved. And this is a problem we have in the prisons today, because a lot of these prisoners who are in for mental health illnesses, they stem from a history of mental health illnesses. They don't need to be in the prisons. They need to be, again, in long-term residential facilities. The same thing with these people that are in for drugs, substances, chemicals, alcohol, however you want to call it. They don't need to be in prison. They need to be in long-term residential facilities. My problem is with the facilities in the free world, in the communities. They're not working. They never did. They never will, because they're so short-term. It takes someone a long time to get addicted. It takes them a long time to become dysfunctional. It takes them a long time with the mental illnesses to escalate into a point where they do something that they shouldn't do. So what they need long-term residential facilities for these substance abusers. And what happens is they're out in the communities, and a lot of people that go in for substances are either on some kind of subsidized health care. So they go in, they might be on Medicare, they might be on MassHealth, they might be on something like that. So they don't have the big money that a lot of people have that can go in and get into the best facilities, you know, and come back out in a few months and claim that their issues are resolved. What's happening now is these facilities on the outside, they're 3 months, they're 6 months, and the maximum I think is maybe 15 months in prison in the facility. So these people go in and they come out within a matter of 1 year. What happens is they're not getting the treatment, the long-term treatment they need. So they get out, and the addiction, they might be cleaned out, but they're not cleaned out to the point where they can manage on their own. So what they need to do, instead of putting these people in prison, they need to take these facilities and they need to expand them to not 15-month max. They need to expand them to maybe 5 years max or 5 year minimum. And they need to get into these facilities not only substance abuse counselors, but they need to bring in psychiatrists, they need to bring in psychologists, they need to bring in social workers, because they need the whole package to make someone whole again. And this is what we're not seeing in the communities. So these people in the communities are getting all this money for nothing. The people in the prisons are getting all this money for nothing, because the prison officials, the Department of Corrections across the country, they're incarcerating, but they're not correcting. They're not healing. The treatment that they're getting, half the time they're misdiagnosing these prisoners. They're putting them on the wrong medications, and sometimes they're not even giving them their medications. This is a prison, a problem across the country. I'm telling you, we have a government, and I hate to say it, but we have a government that doesn't even see. They don't see. They got these positions. They have these titles, but they don't know what in the hell is going on. And this is very frustrating to people like me, because I want to see some smooth transitions from the prisons to the communities. I want to see the rehabilitation taking place in the prisons. I want to see these people healed, men, women, and youth. And I want to see these outside facilities investigated or monitored or overseen by some independent committee that the government can appoint. Because if they appointed committees to oversee these people that they're funding on the outside as well as the inside, then maybe there's going to be some healing in this country, and maybe there's not going to be so much crime, and maybe the crime is going to, instead of escalating, is going to decrease. This is a problem I have. This man, this letter I'm looking at from San Quentin, this isn't the first prisoner that has written a letter like this. I have gotten so many letters throughout these years, and I've been advocating since 1996. New Vision Organization started in 2004, but I've been advocating since 1996. And to me, these people are like family to me because I have gotten so close to them, reading their mail, reading their problems, hearing them. They have finally been able to trust me, a lot of them, to trust me to tell me exactly how they ended up in the position they ended up in. And there's not too many people out there that the prisoners are going to open up to unless they can trust them. I had a volunteer advocate that was working with us, and my vice president gave that volunteer advocate some cases to work on. That volunteer advocate, when she sent the introductory letter to her client, she said, for safety reasons, we're using this particular P.O. box. She didn't have to say that. All she needed to do was to use that P.O. box and let that person or those people that she was assigned know that she is their advocate and that she wants to help them in whatever way she can. She doesn't have to. No one has to give their personal information because we have two P.O. boxes, one in Massachusetts and one in Texas. We have advocates all across the country, paralegals. We have paralegals. We have case managers. We have researchers. We have pen pals. We have a lawyer working with us. We have regional directors. We have two grant writers now. We have all this, and mental health workers working with us, criminal justice. We have all of this, and we're looking for more. I don't care if they don't have titles, if they don't have a degree. I don't care, as long as they have had the experience, some kind of experience, in knowing what the common person is all about. And I get furious because all these people put in these high positions. That's all they have is that piece of paper and that title. They have no experience. They have no knowledge of what the pain is in these people. And this is what's sad because a lot of them are coming from, it's almost like a circle. It's almost like a cycle. They're born one way. They come to be what they're coming to be because they don't have that support or they don't have that help out there. Their parents, a lot of them have abused their kids. You have prisoners that are in prison for being molested when they were kids. You have some that have been being beaten but when they were kids, some that were deprived. You have some that grew up in foster care. You have a social service platform, which I was a social worker for a social service agency, but sometimes we take kids from a home that's slightly dysfunctional, and we put them in a home, a foster home, that may be even worse. And that's why so many kids today are being put in foster homes, and they're either being murdered, they're being raped, or they're being pushed around from one foster home to another. This is the kind of clientele we have in the prisons, and it's sad because we live in a society where everybody feels they're too good to put themselves, to dirty their hands and put themselves down a little bit into the position of these people. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to bring up a lot of religion because I don't believe in religion, but I am a Christian. I do believe in God. And when Jesus came into this world, he came in as the Son of God, but he came in and he put himself in the position of all the low class. All of his disciples were fishermen, the tax collectors. They were nothing. And he didn't feel he was too good. So that's why I'm saying we in this society today, we have to realize we're no better than anyone else because any blessings that we have were given by our Creator, the higher power. And we need to use those blessings to help others. And if we can't do that, what are we all about in this country? And excuse me if I get mad, but this is the way I feel. And I sometimes I can't hold back. But we have prisoners across this country that are crying out for our help. And the only reason gangs were started was because there were young people out there that had nobody or they had no support. So they go and they get in with others like themselves that have no guidance or directions. And they get hooked up with these people that are on drugs that want to see some fast money coming in. So they get these kids connected. And before you know it, these kids are protecting themselves from other gangs. And then you got all these innocent kids in the schools that have no choice sometimes because they go to school and they have two options. They can either join a gang to be protected from other gangs or they don't join a gang. They're going to be fearful of both gangs or all gangs. So we need to look at the schools too. We need to look at the schools and we need to look at these teachers. And I'll tell you one thing. I've gone into schools before and I've seen how some of these teachers dress and how they act. And they're no role models. They are young themselves. And they have all this hippie-type style about them. And they have all this way about them. And sometimes some of these young people that are being taught by these teachers who are already on marijuana and all these kind of things. So where do these kids end up? So our government needs to wake up, and they need to start looking at the country that they're overseeing instead of thinking they're big enough or too big to go to these other countries and give our money, American money, to other countries when they should invest it in their own foolish country and try to take care of their own foolish people. This is a sad, sad situation. I'm trying to get help from the United States Department of Justice to go into the prisons for all these individual people that are suffering. And they can't do crap because it's not a class action or because they don't have the funding, and I don't know what that's all about. We're living in a country that's no money, but yet our president, our governor's going all to all these different countries. It's like a vacation for them while everybody in their backyard is suffering. These are the things that we need to look at. These are the things that we need to get. We need to get volunteers. Now, we just got a volunteer from Florida who is looking to start writing about these issues. So we're looking for, we need other people that are willing to get out there and get the word out about these problems that we're having in this country and see if we can't talk our government into starting to look at their own family within the country instead of looking at all these other families. And a lot of these trips that are being made to these other countries, they don't need to be made to these other countries because these other countries are doing their own thing with their own enemies. I am tired of seeing people dying. I am tired of more. I am tired of seeing Mary. I tried to get help for these three of them in the past in Pennsylvania alone. I tried to get help. They all ended up dying. ACLU is a crock. ACLU, Amnesty International. These people, I don't know where their funding is going. They claim Amnesty International claims it's going to other countries. Is anybody monitoring them? Is anybody monitoring the countries or the people they're helping there? ACLU, I beg them in Pennsylvania to help somebody. And the problem is after these people die, the only ones that suffer are their families. They don't get any kind of nothing out of it. Just like the one with the leg, I've been trying to get help for him since 2011. Okay, they just, because it got to that bad point, it escalated. They gave him x-rays in December, and then 3 months later, the doctor wanted to see him for the MRIs. 3 months later, I had to call all over creation to get them to expedite it because 3 months later, he still had not had the MRI. Now the MRI has been done. They're saying surgery needs to be done, and they're telling him they don't know. It's going to be another long time because of the contract they have with the medical provider at the prison. These are kind of, you know, they pass the buck. They move everything around. It's everybody's doing this, everybody's doing that, but nobody's doing crap. You know, I just want to see some changes. I want to see some positive changes. But advocates across this country, if we can't get some help in trying to do the right thing, there's no purpose of being an advocate. And we're not getting the help from the lawyers that we should be getting the help from because lawyers are afraid to go up against the Department of Corrections. The Department of Corrections, their union is so powerful, everybody's afraid to deal with them, including the U.S. Department of Justice. Isn't that sad? Isn't that the U.S. Department of Justice is actually afraid to go up against the Department of Corrections. But yet the people in the Department of Corrections across the country know this. So they're telling the prisoner, and they're telling prisoners this. You can call the governors. You can call the U.S. Department of Justice. We don't care. We're not afraid of them. So what happens? The prisoners now have absolutely nobody that they can write to. Tell me, Mary, if anybody has an answer to any of this, I would love to hear it. But right now, I haven't heard anything. And talk about tortures. We have the highest rates of incarceration in the whole world. We also have one of the highest rates of human rights violations in the whole world. So what is America about? They're no different than any other country. They're no different than any other country with one exception. At one time, they were a powerful country. And if they're powerful now, maybe they think they are. But in my eyes, they're not powerful at all. If they can't even make a phone call on behalf of a prisoner, or if they can't even meet with the advocates on behalf of the problems in this country, if they can't even sit down as human beings with groups of people instead of talking on television once a year or the State of the Arts Union or whatever it might be, then what's the purpose of us even having? And you know what I did? This is My father was in the military, World War II. Three brothers in the Marines, two sisters in the Army, one in the Air Force, one brother in the Air Force for 30-some-odd years, two brothers in Vietnam at the same time. This is the kind of crap that I regret that they ever did. But my family, my brothers, my father, they were for America. They were for fighting for their country. They were for doing for their country. This country, to me, has no bearing in my heart. I stopped voting 2 years ago. That's how bad it's gotten. I have stopped voting 2 years ago because until I see some help coming in for the less fortunate. You know, those people in the prisons, a lot of them didn't ask to be where they were. Somewhere along the line, society failed them or their family failed them or strangers messed them up. Something happened because no baby is born bad. And if we can't see this, then we're an ignorant society. That's all I have to say. That's all. And I'm sorry I came on late. But sometimes we don't have enough volunteers. We don't have enough people that are interested in helping others. So I'm doing 10 times more than I need to be done. And I'm trying to get over myself, get prepared for surgery. So I am really stressed out right now. That's the way it is with me.
Well, thank you, Ms. Leona Brando. We so much appreciate your joining us on Human Rights Demand, and you're making a human rights demand on behalf of incarcerated people. And from my understanding of your broadcast, you emphasize the needs of the prisoners for better health care, including substance abuse recovery programs, and medical care for one prisoner who has a very hurt leg. As you talked about the prisoner with the hurt leg, I thought about the fact that we have an increasingly older population of prisoners. In other words, the young man that you spoke of at first who was given the three strikes, you're out, and he's in California. And here's a nonviolent offenses, as I understand it. They have to do with drug possession and maybe drug trafficking. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But three strikes, you're out. Now, that's saying, when you say that to a person, you've said to that person, it's more or less like a wedding. Because you're saying, I take you for better or for worse, until death does us part. Is that not like a wedding? You're saying to this inmate, this person, this defendant, I take you for better or worse until death does us part. So you have taken on that person, and you've taken that person's ability to work, provide for his own health care. You've taken that, and you have assumed responsibility for that individual, not for 18 years like child support, but until death does you part. And so you can't renege on that. When they turn older and have skin cancer, have leg ulcers, have cataracts, and all of that, you've taken that on because you wanted the person incarcerated for the rest of their natural lives. And
well, you know, they're actually working on the three strikes law to do away with that. I don't even know. Maybe the bill was passed, but they're also trying to advocate for the elderly to have, you know, the compassionate release, so that there's a certain age limit or a certain age where they can actually start looking at releasing them. Some of these prisoners are in their 70s and 80s, and there's one in Massachusetts, he's in a wheelchair, terminally ill, and they've been trying to work on getting him a compassionate release. But a lot of these people, once they're older, they're disabled, there's very little they can do to harm anybody, or possibly they might harm themselves, I don't know. But they need to look at some of these. And that three strikes law that was in California and now all over the place, but there was a man that was in a prison in Cochrane, as a matter of fact, this was a few years back, and he's probably still, and I haven't heard from him, but He got 3 strikes to law. He got 25 to life. And all his crime was, it was breaking and entering, but he robbed a department store the third time. And the third time he got 25 to life. So the sentences that are imposed on these people, the harsh sentences is ridiculous. But then we have to look at, too, the privatization of prisoners, because right now prisoners across the country, I mean prison, I just found out Bill Gates, what do we talk about? He's one of the investors. Bill Cosby is another one. They're investors of the prisons. And how many celebrities and others are out there investing in these prisons? And what takes extra prisons? You can't have extra prisons unless you have somebody to fill it. It's like a pig pen. You have to fill the pig pen before you can have pigs to be able to feed the pigs. This is what it's all about. And this is all money. It's all greed. It's all
I knew about Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, investing in GEO prisons, but I didn't know about Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby is another one, and I'll tell you, I had some. A prisoner one time sent me a whole list of people that were investing, and he asked me, and this was, he was from Georgia area, Florida area, someplace, but I won't say. But anyway, he sent the list, and he asked me not to say who sent it. So I'm going to get that list, and I'm going to bring it up at maybe one of the next talk shows that we have. But there's a lot of people that we have no idea about.
Let's back
not
up.
A clue.
What is your source for saying that Bill Cosby is a private prison investor? What is your source for that?
That came in that listing. That came in the
okay.
list.
So as
yeah,
far as you know, it's only hearsay. You don't have any evidence of that.
Well, no, this was sent to me. It's not only those, it wasn't only him, it was a lot of others. I mean, they were celebrities.
It's only hearsay. You don't have any evidence of that.
Oh, no. No,
okay.
According to.
Right. I just want to clarify that because we're on the air and, I'm a human rights man. Everybody's responsible for what they say. And I just want to clarify that you said that you were told that Bill Cosby is a prison investor, but you have no evidence of that.
No, that was told to me.
All right.
But these are the things that are happening in this world today, in this country, is that the prisons are being expanded and they're being built, and it's like, what are we doing? I mean, advocates need to come together. We need to try to find out why these things are happening, and we need to bring it to the surface. If our government's not going to tell us, or if the people that are investing are not going to say anything, then the ones that know the facts are those that are being put in all these new prisons, these private prisons that are being built. It's ridiculous.
It's disappointing. I was disappointed recently to read that a new Supermax facility is being opened in Illinois.
And in Pennsylvania,
I'm sorry?
A new one, they just either renovated it or restored it or whatever, but they have another facility just for life is alone in Pennsylvania.
Right. So, you know, when you read the headlines, you would think that imprisoning people is being reconsidered. You would think that there's something better in the plans. But when you look at the plans, what's really being planned is more of the same. And that's what I want people to know. Thank you. That what's really being planned is more prisons, more prisons for lifers, more prisons for people in solitary confinement. No, they have not paid attention to our bosses. No, they have not paid attention to the UN, which came down on the United States about solitary confinement and about its high rate of incarceration recently. That was in March 2014. So, no. There's no effort really to change there's no real strides being made in changing. So I just wanted to clarify that, and I want to thank all of you for joining us on New Vision Organization. We have another 15 minutes to be on air, but if you're listening to that computer, you will be cut off now, and we so much appreciate your joining the program. This is Human Rights Demand with Mary Neal and Leona Brando. Thank you. Well, Leona, we're off the active air, so people cannot call in right now, but we're still in the archives. You have another 15 minutes to wrap it up in the archives. You can use them or not. It's up to you, but we so much appreciate your program. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want everyone to remember, if they want to do any volunteer work with NVO, they can go to the NVO website, which is www.newvisionorginc.com. And if you go to the volunteer section, you can sign up online. You can complete an application online. And once we receive the application, someone will be in contact with you to set up a conference interview, and we can get you started right away. We're looking for anyone and everyone that has any time at all to work with us, and we all work from the homes. We have monthly teleconference meetings so that everyone across the country can participate, and we work with all backgrounds, cultures, races, religions. We work with all age groups and across the country. Right now we have prisoners in literally every single state, but we do not have volunteers for every single state. We're looking for volunteers in the Arkansas, Alabama area, the Utah area. We're looking for prisoners in the Mississippi and Tennessee area. We need volunteers in those areas because we have a lot of cases in those areas right now that we do not have coverage for. So if anyone is interested, even if you live in another state, if you're willing to work on cases from those states, all it involves is contacting the clients when you get their cases, introducing yourself, letting them know you're an advocate, sending them an application to complete if they haven't completed one, and asking them to specify in detail exactly what they need so that when you go on to research, you can actually know what you're looking for. You can either print out the resources that you find, or you can call these places and make referrals to them or for them. Now, for those that are soon to be released, you want to have a smooth transition from prison to society. So what you want to do for those that are soon to be released is connect with their case managers or their counselors at the prison. Introduce yourselves. Let them know where you're from. Let them know what New Vision is all about. And let them know that we are trying to work with them so that when the prisoners come out, our clients come out, we'll be able to work with the counselors and case managers prior to their release to know exactly what the Department of Corrections is going to be offering to help them when they get out, and that way we know exactly what they don't have and what we need to look for. If anybody's interested, please go on our website and apply to work with us online, or you can go to the United Way website, Volunteer Match, Rhode Island Serve, Connect and Serve. You can go to any one of those places. We have our needs, our everything is on their websites. You can go on there and you can apply to work with us from one of those sites. We'd appreciate all the help we can get. You don't have to have a degree. You do have to have a computer. You do have to have a phone and a printer if possible. We network with advocates across the country. Again, we're starting our workshops the second week in May. For anybody that wants to work with us, there will be training. And it will be, again, on the second week of May. Someone will be getting in contact with everyone to let them know the exact day and time.
Well, thank you. So are you saying that a person can go to United Way and volunteer to work with New Vision Organization?
Right. When they go to these sites, it'll say organizations, and they can click on organizations, and then just it'll bring them to New Vision Organization, Inc., or they can type in the name, and it will bring them to our section of that United Way of Volunteer Match. Once they get on there, they can look at all the positions that we're seeking. We're looking for paralegals. We're looking for pro bono lawyers. We're looking for case managers. We're looking for researchers. We're looking for psychologists. We're looking for grant writers and all these things. Whichever one they want to apply for, all they need to do is click on that, and there'll be a section where they can put in their information to get in contact with us or for us to respond to.
Well, that's wonderful that a person can go either to your website, New Vision Organization, or they can go to United Way and volunteer for New Vision Organization.
Right.
And they will just do things that will help make smooth transitions back into society for imprisoned people, or they can help prisoners who are behind bars access health care or
legal, pro bono legal services.
Pro bono legal services. In other words, it's just a matter of making some phone calls for someone, maybe writing a letter for someone. It's just a matter of just being there for someone, being an advocate. You know, a lot of advocates are talking to each other on Facebook. A lot of advocates are talking to each other on Google+. And they're talking to each other, and they're not really doing the work that would make a difference.
You know, thank you.
We're talking to each other about, oh, look, this person got shot down. Oh, look, this person got too much time, got excessive sentencing. Oh, look, and we're bemoaning how sad it is. But, you know, then we close up our computers and we're done, and we feel like we've done well. But you're offering an opportunity to really get in there and donate some time and make a difference in someone's life. And I think it's a wonderful program, and I congratulate you. Could you give us one success story?
We have a success story. He's a representative now in Pennsylvania. He started Bridges for Change, and his name is Gerald Bowling. And he's doing a lot of good for the prisoners in that state. Then we have Angela Pissarro, who is our paralegal from Florida. I mean, she's been doing wonders with the prisoners she's working with. And these prisoners, a lot of them are appreciative of what they're doing. Unfortunately, the majority of prisoners that we work with are serving life without parole sentencing, or they are on death row. So what we're doing, the paralegals anyway, what they're doing is they're doing a lot of research trying to help so that they can help with their legal to get commutations, either commuted from prison to society or commuted from death row to life sentences. And we just heard in Texas there's been a couple of executions, which shocked me because Texas, for a while there, I thought was going to be stopping, but they just executed a couple more people. But we have also Hakeem Shaheed is in New Jersey. And he was a victim of torture while at Marion Prison in Illinois. And Hakeem is on the outside now. He's been writing books. I don't know how many he's doing, but I know he was writing a book. I want to mention this because Shaheed Omar, he's from Virginia. He's starting a new organization for human rights. And the name of the organization is called PEST. And it means it stands for Prison Abuse Stops Today, Inc. So it's PEST, Inc. And he's going to be starting that. And so that might be something that people can connect with him. And he's with the Beautiful Struggles, which is a Yahoo group. And let me just see what that one is. They can actually join the group and maybe write to him from that, the Beautiful Struggles.
Well, thank you, Leona. And so we've given you a lot of information as to how you can do more than just go online and talk to other activists about the issues, how you can really connect with the people who are going through behind bars, 2.3 million people, and actually make a difference in their lives. Sometimes just knowing that these prisoners are connected with an advocacy organization may make a difference in how they're treated behind bars. And again, I'd like to invite all of you to sign the petition to stop prison rape. And that petition is for the United States Department of Justice to open a toll-free hotline that will be open 24 hours a day for people who are the handbars, who suffered sexual assault, to be able to call that number and call in their complaint rather than having to get their complaint from the person who assaulted them, who is often a correctional officer in over 50% of the cases, rather than having to ask their friends and coworkers for a complaint form to fill out and turn in when they've been sexually assaulted. They will be able to call a toll-free number and report their sexual assault. Go ahead, Leona.
We have one that was sexually assaulted by multitudes, and he was transferred from, I believe it was Colorado to Florida, but, through the Bureau of Prisons. But he was sexually molested, I mean raped by not only prisoners but guards. And that's how we got this case. And again, one of our paralegals in the Florida area is working with him as well. But another thing is when these people call in, if there is a hotline that's established for these prisoners who are being raped, they need to also include in that bill or that petition that when that person reports it, that they get them out of there. Because what's happening now is a lot of prisoners, first of all, if they're raped, they're going to be afraid to report it. And if they do, they're going to have to deal with other guards in the prison. So they need to find a solution for that, too. When these people do cry out for help when they're being raped, then they need to have a facility they can put them in where it's going to be a safe journey for them from that point on, instead of having them go to another one where they're going to be further abused.
Absolutely. And, of course, what happens now is that some individuals are removed from the general population and put in solitary. So that has the effect of punishing the victim. And so that is unacceptable. They need a transfer, most likely, to another facility. But this Stop Prison Rape petition, it doesn't deal with what happens afterwards. But it does deal with the fact that people need a better way to report their assaults to handbars. They need to be able to report it to an independent agency that's away from the prison where they were raped. Because sometimes even the wardens don't want these reports going forward. So nothing is done when they report the rapes to the guard station, or they report the rapes even to the warden. So we need the Bureau of Prisons to have a hotline, or the U.S. Department of Justice to maintain a hotline, so that people will be able to get that kind of problem, rape, away from the facility where it happened and into the hands of the people who are in overview of the facilities, either to the Bureau of Prisons or the USDOJ. We need a 24-hour hotline so that these people will have some way to report their sexual assaults. Understand that most prisoners are not incarcerated for ballot crimes. They're incarcerated for non-ballot crimes. So we're not talking about violent criminals being raped. We're talking about people who wrote a bad check. We're talking about people who may have been caught with marijuana or some other controlled substance. We're talking about, when you talk about prisoners, you're speaking about a whole lot of people who are incarcerated for non-violent crimes as well as the violent criminals. And so rapes are happening, and you can sign the petition Stop Prison Rape Its Own Causes. Go ahead, Leona.
What makes me so upset is these guards, and they are out there that can rape a prisoner. These guards are so filthy. They're scumbags, and they get away with it because they have a uniform on. And you can't tell me, Mary, that our government is not aware of all this. You cannot tell me the U.S. Department of Justice does not know this, because they do. And it's sad because,
And we so much appreciate you coming on the air. It is well known. It's just a matter of how to deal with it. So God bless you, and please think about joining New Vision Organization. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.